Today on Real Radio.
Ezekiel 36, 26 spoke about the Jewish people in the end and even the believer of today being born again when he says, I will give you a new heart. Do you have a new heart? And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. That is a heart tender toward God and submissive toward God and obedient toward him. A heart that is allowing toward the Lord.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're in a mini-series that examines the first 15 verses of chapter 8. The passage includes the parable of the sower, and it's a four-part series because there are four different types of soil or hearts that react to the Word of God. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs with more in this series called Is This Your Heart?
Out of the four hearts, 75% of them never make it to heaven. You say, well, Jack, that's true, but God's not into statistics. This is true, but Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leads to hell and to destruction, and many there are on that path. And so when you think about this, 25% of Jesus' illustration are the ones that make it to heaven. Out of 100%, only 25% make it. And so when you think about this, 25% of Jesus' illustration are the ones that make it to heaven. Out of 100%, only 25% make it. And so when you think about this, 25%. Now, this is first service, and you're smart for coming, because second service, you won't even get a seat. But from my vantage point, can I have you guys in this area stand from here over, just in this aisle over here? Will you guys stand for a second? You can stand. It's okay. This guy's looking to his wife for permission. You can stand. Look at this. What if the rest of this parable, what if it's preached? Jesus is saying to the preacher and to the one listening, after it's all put out, the seed is holy and pure, the seed goes out, it tests and judges the soils. After the end of the day, these receive it, these bear fruit, and these go to heaven. Now stop right here, watch. This is one quarter of this sanctuary. This is 25% of this sanctuary standing. Isn't it interesting that out of the 5,000 adults that attend this church, it just so happens that there's somewhere between 400 to 500 people who actually tithe in their money toward the church out of 5,000. Out of serving in ministry, out of the 5,000 adults only that attend this church, there are hundreds that serve this body. I'm just telling you about a trend that if you look around this sanctuary, the bulk of the people are sitting down. The bulk of the people do nothing. I'm not saying you. I'm just saying just statistically. The bulk of the people pray nothing, do nothing, give nothing, serve nothing but a few. Jesus said, out of all those that hear the word of God, there is a fragment, it's 25%, that hear the word of God and bear fruit. Thank you. You guys can sit down. Is that not alarming? Now watch, it is alarming for us to see it displayed like this, and then it's alarming for us to search our own hearts. But I got to tell you, as a pastor, as a presenter of the Word of God, it's incredibly encouraging. You say, what, are you crazy, Jack? Out of all your labors, only 25% of your labors, out of all that you do, is meaningful in the end? I thank God it's 25%. Because you understand what it feels like to give the Bible out, not knowing if anybody's ever listening. And so I rejoice in this. Why? Because one kernel of corn can feed the world. That little group over there, you guys, can change the world. That's all he needs. And I love that. It's encouraging. Third and final point is this. Verse 15, you got to skip all the way now to verse 15. Jesus gives the explanation. Is this your heart? A heart desiring to abide. Can you jot that down? This is very, very important. This is very important. A heart desiring to abide. Don't raise your hand, but do you desire to stay close to Jesus? Oh, what the heck? Raise your hand. Do you desire to stay close to Jesus? I'm going to put both of them up. Don't you? And listen, has it not ever entered your mind, God, please keep me close. Please keep me close to you. This word abide is a great word. The word means to take up residence. It means to live with. It means to pull up a chair and sit down. It means you're not going anywhere. That's vitally important because this heart doesn't want to go anywhere else. Do you remember, as I mentioned recently, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You know why they follow him? Because their hearts have recognized, I want to stay with him. I want to be near to him. Can you say that in your heart? I don't know much, Jack, but I know this. I want to be near Jesus. Oh, God bless that request and cry of yours. Because it proves that Jesus has cried out to humanity and out of the masses of people. Your heart has said, Lord, I'm listening. And the proof of it, that you are a believer, is your, in a sense, holy frustration that you're close to Jesus, but not close enough. Do you know what I'm saying? You love him, but not enough. You've got him, but not enough. Do you know that contradiction? Oh, God, use me, and he is using you, but not enough. What a glorious contradiction to live in, because it means that you're alive. And you're disappointed, aren't you? I'm disappointed. Oh, God, I want to live a sinless life. And then we sin. What do? We cry out to him again. Oh, Lord, help me. And he helps us. He says, but the one that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it, bear fruit with patience. That noble, good heart is that born-again heart. Ezekiel 36, 26 spoke about the Jewish people in the end and even the believer of today being born again when he says, I will give you a new heart. Do you have a new heart? And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. That is a heart tender toward God and submissive toward God and obedient toward him. A heart that is allowing toward the Lord. A heart that wants to obey. This is a very important verse. Jot it down. It's John 15, verses 1 and 2, out to verse 10. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Stop right there. Christian, listen. This is how you read the Bible. I am the vine, or I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Okay, I understand that chain of command. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Dear God in heaven, please make me a fruit-bearing branch. Okay? And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. Prune. Look up prune. What does that mean? Ouch. That's what it means. Meaning of prune? Ouch. It means to clip back, to cut back. It means in my life, as a believer, when I'm producing fruit, church, listen, be thou encouraged, believer. Things are going pretty good. I'm walking with God and things are happening. And then all of a sudden, wham! What happened? Pruning. You just done been pruned. You've been pruned. Whack! This thing's cut off. This ministry has been removed from you. This health has been removed from you. This avenue has been removed. Hey, this job's been removed from you. What's happening? Pruning. Why? Because God loves you. Oh, God, I know that you love me. Can you go prune someone else? Oh, he will. But he loves you that, listen, he wants you pruned. Why would he cut back the very branch that's been producing the fruit? Come on, God, what are you doing? Have you ever had that temptation? God, why? Why? I was doing so good. Oh, well, let's keep reading. He prunes it that it may bring forth more fruit. You see how fruity he wants you? Look, you live in California, you're already close. We got the environment. We got the word of God. Abide in me and I in you, and the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing, Jesus said. I love this. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they are gathered together and thrown into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Did you hear that? Be at home in my love. Are you? Please do that. Be at home in his love. Relax in his love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. By the way, what is the commandment? To believe on him whom God has sent. Can you do that? You can do that. John 15:16. This is on the verse of every Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa ordination document. This verse right here. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in the Father's name, he may give it to you. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that powerful? Abide in Christ, says the Bible. In 1 John 2:28, it says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I don't want to belabor this, but it is an awesome verse. Listen, now little children, abide in him. Take up residence in him. That when he appears, it's a verse concerning the rapture, by the way. Absolutely, without doubt, having to do with the rapture. That when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. This is a great verse. You got two Christians. They love God. One's walking and serving the Lord. One's gone, raptured. Look. One's walking with God and serving the Lord. The other one loves God, but even backslides and is not serving the Lord. Listen, is a rebellious child in your family still your child? Do you, if your kid is out goofing up, do you remove his name? You'd like to remove his name from your family, but you can't. He's still your kid. Love keeps him in that relationship, though he may be running around town. You don't abort your child when he's 25 years old acting like an idiot. He's your child. Is he pleasing to you? No. Is he in trouble? Probably. Certainly with you. He's not walking in the way that you raised him, but he's still your child. This verse means that when the Lord comes back, for those who are not walking with God, they're going to be ashamed. It doesn't mean they're not his kids. It doesn't mean they don't get raptured. It means they're ashamed. Oh, no, it's the Lord. You ever seen a kid with his hand in the cookie jar? That's still your kid, the little thief and robber that he is. But they're ashamed. When Jesus comes back, will you be bearing fruit? Or will you be out chasing your tail somewhere? Be careful. You say, Jack, you shouldn't have said that, because now people are going to go out there and they're going to settle for being ashamed. Not the good heart that is caring about all this stuff. A heart desiring to abide, very quickly we'll wrap this up, as a heart that is desiring to abide unto the end. He says the word keep it. The word keep in the Greek is a great word. It means to hold down, to fasten yourself to something. It means to hold in memory, to hold by grip, to hold by bond, to capture, to possess it. They possess the word. They're going to stay at it. Jesus' parable is both to warn and to encourage us. Even in the midst of that 75-25% rule, there will always be those who keep it. I've noticed over the years as this church has grown, and I'll travel somewhere, and if I'm being introduced, or I've noticed something that every time since this church began to grow has been somewhat of an embarrassment to me, as though it means something, as though it matters. Someone will say, "Oh, this is Pastor Jack at Calvary Chapel Chinos. Oh, the church has really exploded. It's really grown so much. And in the last 10 years, it's gone from this many people that..." You know what? I don't know what that person's thinking or trying to do. Maybe they're trying to be nice. I don't get it. It means nothing to me. Here's the reason why. And I don't mean to insult anybody. I don't mean to insult you for coming. I'm glad you're here. But know this. It's always a few that make things happen. Church, Jesus taught us from the beginning, had nothing to do with numbers. When are we going to get over that? Well, how big is your church? Pastors' conferences around America. Hi, who are you? How big is your church? What does that matter? I am not a nice guy to be at conferences. I literally do that. So, your Pastor Jack, oh, I heard that your church is big. Does that matter? Man, okay, gee whiz. Why? It's wrong. What? Why is bigger better? It's not better. It's more headaches. More difficulty. You know what? It's not the size of the body. It's the size of the heart that matters. It's not the size of the church. It's the size of the heart. That's what matters. And anybody in ministry knows that that's true. How big is the heart of this church? I believe we're spoiled. I have been offered other jobs at other churches across the United States. I've said no every time, and I'll tell you the reason why. You guys are so wonderfully easy to pastor, even though you're a big church. I'm spoiled here. You have big hearts and big numbers, and that is a rarity. It's amazing. It's wonderful. A heart desiring to abide desires to bear fruit. He says, verse 15, they bear fruit. Now look at this. To bear fruit means to be put in the place, to be carrying the fruit, to be productive, to have fruit abounding, overflowing, to carry it. What a great blessing that is. The Lord produces the fruit, and we get to show it off. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, the scripture says, Matthew 7:16. In Matthew 7:16, it says, you will know them by their fruits. He says, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or from fig thistles? Even so, every good tree bears forth good fruit, and every bad tree, bad fruit. And a good tree cannot bear forth bad fruit, neither can a good tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit, he cuts it down and is thrown into the fire. That's Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. Very quickly, and we'll be done. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, that God has ordained us and predestined us as believers to bring forth fruit. That's Ephesians 1, 3 through 7. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. This is the fruit, my friend, listen, mark it well, that God would have us to enjoy. And it's by the power of God. It's Galatians 5, 22. But of the fruit of the Spirit, it is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You saw that lady a moment ago carrying all that fruit on her head? That's a great picture of the believer. As you walk with Jesus, fruit comes out of your life and flows over unto others. And so, we end with this, desiring to abide until he comes. I just want to hang in there until he comes. No, I just want to hang in there until he comes and produce fruit. No, I want to hang in there until he comes to produce fruit overflowing abundantly beyond coming out of the basket on my head. Fruit. I want to have a life that when Jesus comes or when I go to see him, you and I will hear him say, can you imagine? He's going to say it to somebody. I want to hear it. I want him to say, Jack, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You guys, he's going to say that to somebody. Will it be you and I? I got a feeling, maybe dead wrong. I think he's going to say it. He's going to say it to us because, church, we are weak, but he's strong. We can't produce anything but trouble, but he produces good. Everything I embark upon never gets done. What he does always comes across the finish line. I panic. He comes through. I'm not faithful. He's faithful still. I sin. He forgives. I love him. He first loved me. We're going to make it unto the end. Church, the Bible says to break up the fallow ground of our hearts, for now it is time to seek the Lord, Hosea 10:12 says. And we end with this. Where is your heart? The series is over. Jesus taught us and challenged us about where our hearts are. Where is your heart?
Quite the challenging and soul-searching question by Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California. In a presentation called, Is This Your Heart? It's a four-part mini-series that looks at the four types of soil, or the four different types of recipients of God's Word, as mentioned in the famous parable of the sower, taken from the first 15 verses of Luke chapter 8. It's part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we do want to let you know about an upcoming event on the 4th of July. It has nothing to do with fireworks, by the way. But here's Pastor Jack to tell us more. Pastor Jack?
Mike, thank you very much. We are coming up on the Call to Fall outreach that literally spans America. And what that is a nationwide call for believers from sea to shining sea to get on their knees and to pray. The Call to Fall last year resulted in thousands and thousands of believers praying for revival, praying for our troops, praying for our leaders, praying for our government, and praying for God to have his way with America. Call to Fall. You can find out more about it by going to calltofall.com. That's call, the number two, fall.com. And when you go there, go to the section where it says, I'm in. And you can click on that button and be part of this amazing nationwide prayer gathering. And make a statement. Take a stand by falling on your knees. I encourage pastors and churches to take part of their Sunday morning service, just a few moments, to get on their knees. I tell you what, it's a moving thing. It's a powerful thing when a church physically gets on its knees on a Sunday morning and lifts up the concerns of our nation to our loving God. So let's meet at Call to Fall. God bless you.
Okay, so that's calltofall.com. C-A-L-L, the number two, and then the word fall.com to find out more. You can also visit our website, realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And if you'd like to participate in the ongoing work of Real Radio, here's our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous donations of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.